Good morning, church family. Trust you all well this morning. Our devotion this morning is taken from Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. And the title is The Promise of Peace in the Midst of the Storm. This is what Isaiah says. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. This promise was given by God in the darkest hour, darkest period of Israel's history. Yet it will be a great help to us now when we are surrounded by such gloom and depression as we head hopefully into the final 2 weeks of lockdown due to the devastating COVID-19 pandemic. This might still be our darkest period, as it's not over yet. At such times we have been constantly threatened by the three enemies of doubt, fear and worry. When all is going well, it's easy to read a promise like this in a superficial way. But when disappointment and trial comes, these words become precious. There's no promise in the Bible to suggest that here on earth we shall ever experience freedom from trouble, war, trial, temptation, anguish, loss, etc. And we only have to look at CNN or BBC TV broadcasts to see these things being played out in some parts of the world, and even now as we speak. But something far better is promised. It is the promise of perfect peace in the midst of all of these. Of what value would freedom from these troubles be if we had no inward peace? Yet it's possible in the fiercest battle for the trusting soul to experience a deep down calm, an inward peace, and a quiet confidence, something we surely all long for. Well, let's have a look at and see what this blessing is that is offered to us. It is described as perfect peace, but can we define that? Yes, we can. It's a condition of freedom from disturbance. It is perfect harmony reigning within us. The Hebrew word shalom has in it the idea of soundness of health. So that to be filled with perfect peace is to be spiritually healthy and free from discord within our souls. There can be no room for jealousy, envy, uncontrolled temper, selfishness, pride, intolerance, harsh criticism, fear or anxiety in the soul that is filled with peace. All these things I've just mentioned are disturbing factors in our hearts and discordant notes. The peace which God offers and which by His grace we may experience is very practical. It is a quiet calm which He commands, as we see in Mark chapter 4, verse 39, when Jesus calmed the storm with a stern, "Quiet, be still." God calls His peace, perfect peace. So then, in what sense is it perfect? Firstly, it's perfect in its quality. That is to say, it is perfect in the kind of peace that it is. There is an imperfect peace. There is the imperfect peace of ignorance when we imagine that all is going well, whereas in fact, all is not well. The prophet Jeremiah wrote in chapter 6, verse 14, "They dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious. Peace, peace, they say, where there is no peace." There is the imperfect peace of stagnation. The surface of a pool of water may be calm and peaceful, but underneath it is foul and green with algae and slime. Many men and women know only a peace like that. One day the shock of God's judgment will stir up their pool, and they will find that they have no real peace at all. Then there is the imperfect peace of dependence, which is a peace dependent upon something, some system, or some person in this world. The thing may fail, the person may die, and where then is their peace? Gone like a vapor of wind. But in contrast, God's peace is perfect. Secondly, it's perfect in its quantity. That is to say, the supply of it is sufficient and exactly meets our need. Another rendering of perfect peace is peace. That is double peace. Notice the significance of this in Philippians 4 verse 7, where we read that this double peace is the peace of both heart and of mind. And that is the kind of peace we need, a peace that encompasses our minds and calms our hearts. There's also a double peace in the sense that it is peace with God, as Paul states in Romans chapter 5 verse 1, "Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Together with the peace of God, which passes, transcends all understanding, according to Philippians 4 verse 7. We can never know the peace of God until we know the peace with God. Thirdly, it's perfect in its constancy. It is permanent and not intermittent. The promise says, "You will keep in perfect peace." In Psalm 121 verse 4, the writer promises us that he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. It has almost become a cliche at this time that COVID-19 has not caught God by surprise or off guard. Well, guess what? It hasn't. And neither will the next pandemic, tornado, flood, or famine that comes our way catch him unawares either. So exactly how does this perfect peace come to us? But firstly, it comes by Jesus Christ. In Philippians 4, verse 7, we read that the Lord Jesus Christ is the source from whom God's peace flows into our souls. It is the possession of the Christian alone. There is no peace. Let me say that again. There is no peace for anyone who does not possess Christ and who is not resting on the finished work of Jesus Christ for salvation, thereby making peace through his blood shed on the cross, as you read in Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. Secondly, it comes by the Holy Spirit. The Lord Jesus procured peace on the cross of Calvary, and it is offered to us by him as the source, but it is conveyed to our hearts and minds by the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit fills and floods our lives, so he produces this fruit, as we read in Galatians 5:22, within us. By the way, it is fruit in the singular, so we should be able to exercise love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, as laid down by the Apostle Paul, as they are all part of one collective fruit, just like multiple grapes in a single bunch constitute the bunch. Thirdly, this comes to us by his word. A great promise made in Psalm 119, verse 165, is that great peace have those who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble. A better rendering of stumble is disturb. How often things and people disturb us. But here is a promise of perfect peace to those who love, meditate in, and obey the word of God. I think for most of us during this past couple of weeks, we have delved more into God's word than usual, as we've had more time on our hands and have found that to be true. Long may that pattern continue with each of us as we devote more time to studying the scriptures. Fourthly, this peace comes by our obedience. In Leviticus chapter 26, verses 3 to 6, the passage is preceded by the word if. If you follow my decrees and are careful to obey my commands. Moses, the writer, then carries on to promise a host of benefits we might receive from God in doing so. For example, rainfall, successful crops, harvest of grapes, living in safety in the land, and of course, peace. God guarantees to us that if we do our part, he will surely do his part. And fifthly, this comes by prayer and praise. Notice that the promise of Philippians 4, verse 6 is preceded by the conditions mentioned in verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Praise needs to always be part of our prayers and petitions, as we indeed do have so much to be thankful for. Even at a time like this, when we have no idea when the COVID-19 virus will leave us, or even when a remedy for it will be discovered to take away its potency. Finally then, two conditions must be met if we would experience perfect peace. Who will God keep in perfect peace? The one whose mind is steadfast and the one who trusts. Both these expressions denote faith. The one is a head word and the other is a heart word. Well, what's the difference, you might ask? With the head, the intellect, we believe that God is the author and giver of peace and that he's able to give it, to willingly give it. And with the heart, the inner being, our souls, we trust him to do so and so receive it by faith. This duality is echoed in the words of Paul in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, where he talks of our salvation. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's basically a matter of transferring one's head knowledge to their hearts, a short journey of about 350 millimeters that has eternal consequences for the one who believes. The promise of Isaiah 26 verse 3 begins with God and ends with God. It begins with you and ends with you in a capital Y. And the trusting soul, that's you and me, goes in between. Perfect peace is the Lord himself within us, not an experience, a doctrine, an it, or a code of belief, but the Lord himself. So as we endure a further time in lockdown, may God keep us in perfect peace as we keep our minds steadfast on him. And trust him to bring us through this immense and intense ordeal according to his time frame and his overall plan. Please pray with me as we pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence and thank you this morning for your word as we have pondered it in our devotion. We thank you too for the word who became flesh, your beloved Son and our divine Lord and Savior, whose death, burial and resurrection we celebrated last weekend. We are so grateful for this, his amazing obedience to you, and for the sacrifice he made on our behalf. Thank you for the empty tomb and the fact that neither the grave nor death could contain him. and that today he is alive and seated at your right hand, making intercession for us. Lord, today we would commit our President Cyril Ramaphosa and his cabinet to you once again, that you would continue to lead and guide them in making the right decisions for us here in South Africa with regard to the coronavirus. Judging by the scientific testing and results, our situation appears to be much different to the pandemic as experienced in Europe and the USA. As much as we don't like our current lockdown situation, we know it is best for us and that it is working, as the rate of infection curve seems to be flattening out in our country. Please keep our health workers, doctors, and other essential services personnel free from contamination so that they might serve the peoples of our country. To this end, we think especially of those members of our church who are in those categories. Bless them and their families in their daily endeavors and make them to be beacons of light in this very dark situation. Lord, we thank you for our church and thank you that despite being unable to meet corporately, we are still able to meet online for Sunday services and daily devotions such as this one this morning. We thank you too for the online work that Lisa has been doing with the children's ministry and the fact that we can still have our small group meetings via Zoom or Skype, one of the other social media platforms. Father, we commit ourselves to you afresh this morning as we know that you alone are the one who can and will give us perfect peace in the midst of this global storm. And these things we pray with thanksgiving and praise in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen.